Hi, Ian.
Hey, Jakob, how's it going? Doing
Not too bad. How are you?
well.
Cool. I'm just looking at what's this for it? Christ. Okay, got it. Let me share my screen. Hello, super user.
Yeah, I hate when it does that. Hey, Ian, I updated the email addresses for Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane in the tenant creation spreadsheet.
Awesome.
So I think maybe after I think because it's one of the key detail columns, I think I have to wait for the workflow run thing, and then I should be able to do the deploy changes to the directory.
Yeah,
So
you can prompt it to run those things if you want.
is it in the same? Hold on. I just want to check. So when I go to the deploy thing, I have update directory as an option, and then there's create tenant, deploy, and trigger multiple tenants. Are
If you go to the Trove tenant details repository, that's where the directory gets made. And let's see. Let me pull it up so I can see. Next it. Details. Under actions there's one called Gather.
Maybe I'm in the wrong spot.
It in the Zoom chat here.
Okay, thank you.
So run that one. You don't, it'll have some options. You can just run it without changing those options.
Okay, I don't have the option to run gather
Okay.
this.
Yeah, I'll run it right now.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
And then when that's done, then I'll be able to run the update directory job workflow. Okay, thank you. Is everything main for this, or is there dev as well for gather?
Just main, I think, for gather.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, so let's do a status update and just quickly touch base on the release candidate status, and then we can talk about some open tickets and anything else that Mallory has. Okay, so I guess I don't know. I can talk. I can ask Adam and Giannis to join us here. It's kind of late for Giannis, but I think I can do it. But let's see if we need to. So I can just give a quick update. So Adam's working on this one. This is not going to block the release, but we need to get this updated to prods once it's done. We can always do it post the release candidates, of course, but hopefully this is going to be finished today. It's just to make sure that all the errors are actually forwarded to the supplier, so that's gonna work hand in hand with the change that Jason is making. When we get errors from Alma, especially. Okay, so yeah, so this one, David, I don't know.
I still need to do what you asked me to do on
Okay.
these. I haven't harassed him or changed any of them around yet, so I will do that, I promise.
Yeah, he's been kind of, just ping him. He's been kind of busy the last couple of days because I had some reservoir stuff for him, but it should be done now.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe he's got a bit more time. Ian, any updates?
I'm adding those tenants to the environment. Other than that,
Thank you.
are we still having problems with the third tenant? I haven't checked in on that one this week. With we call it Brisbane. Or is
I
that
think
fine now?
it's yeah, go ahead, Mallory.
yeah, I think it's working fine. I'm still having issues with messaging, but that doesn't have anything to do with the addition of that tenant. So I don't think that's I think it's fine. I think you can close that one.
All right. And let's see, new tenants update that's waiting. And can request that are out of sync or
So
resync. Yeah, okay.
should we I'm sorry, Ian. So should we just close this and then maybe reopen if yeah, so
There's a specific problem with messaging that I can help with. Yeah, just let me know and I'll open any issues. And then there's this one that's in the to-do column that can be in progress, actually. We're looking at some requests that got out of sync. And I changed the status of some of them just to see if that'll work. so we're changing the status on the requester side. I don't see anything in the ILL transaction table that looks like it needs to be updated, so I left that alone. I'm hoping not to mess with that.
Yeah, and I asked or I wrote on the ticket back to them to ask them to try to action those as received to see if it like kind of picks up where it left off, but I haven't heard back yet.
We'll just leave it open, and if it works, then we can do the rest of them. Some of these are from Alma, and obviously we can't do anything about that, I don't think. Unless there's something we can do in the broker to unstick those, but yeah.
Yeah, just remind me, like, how are they stuck?
So like the supplier says it's shipped, but the requester does not.
Supplier has shipped, but the requester did not get that message.
I mean, I guess Mallory understands it better than I. Let me know if the
Yeah,
other.
no, that's right. Essentially, the supplier shipped, it didn't get through to the requester, and so the requester can't receive the item and move it through local circulation and return ship, etc.
I mean, so that needs to be done. But all of those requests, no, okay. So yeah, so for those, you're just gonna update the DB, right, Ian, to move it to the next state, to move it to the so they can
Yeah, so
mark it
that's
as
what I've
received.
done on these ones. I just changed the request state to shipped so it matches, and then hopefully they can keep it going.
Yeah, I think
Good.
I want to make sure that it will actually work before we do more. And they only sent these like 11 through, but they encountered way more than that with the network error. So I think if it works, we might want to do some investigation to find if there's more that need to be fixed or not. But like this is the ones that they sent through initially.
Yeah, for those two on that are sent from Alma, I mean, there's nothing we can do in the brokerage. It's broker that doesn't just magically produce messages, but we could hit the API. So Mallory, they cannot receive them either, right? So Alma has the same problem as Research that once the re if the request is in the request sent to partner state, they cannot receive it.
This one I'm not sure who the are. Yeah, this is both the requester and supplier are both Alma. Sorry. Yeah, I guess it got messed up. I'm not sure, I guess, because I can't see those two tenants, or I can't see the Alma instances. So I don't know if they're unable to do anything with them or
Yeah,
not.
Alma seems to be very open-ended when it comes to like ISO 8626. So maybe just verify with them or Alan, whoever, if they can do it through the UI. You know, like
Okay.
because in our case, we have this kind of rigid state model that prevents them from receiving the request, and that's why Ian has to update it in the database, right? Which actually sucks. But I don't think it's the same case with Alma. But just check if that's the case. Then I think the only thing we can do is just hit the API directly, you know, send an ISO 8626 message over the API, just so this guy, gets into the shipped state. So this would be a little bit of tinkering with those Alma targets. if we need to. But if they can just do it manually, then that would be, of course, better.
Okay.
So
I'll just
maybe
leave
we
them.
should have that on our radar as something we should just add. Like, it probably wouldn't be that hard to add another thing in the settings where it's just like request state override or something, and it will just move a request into whatever state without triggering any action or anything. Maybe it doesn't need to trigger something. Yeah, I don't know. But like, anyway, it gives me the option to do in
Right,
extenuating circumstances.
that's essentially what I'm doing in the database. I'm not doing anything special. I'm just changing the PR state FK value to a different request state.
Right. And so we could expose that in the admin area and then put that behind the permission so that it's not just anybody who sees it. And at least then someone not us could do it. But then they could also get into weird situations if they did
Right.
that when they
Yeah,
didn't really need to.
I
Are
don't
you
actually
guys
know
all
why.
sick? You all sound kind of sick.
Yeah, everyone's sick
Yes,
right now.
yes.
I'm really afraid to be on the same call with you guys.
Yeah.
Nah, it's the change of
I'm
the
not sick. I
seasons,
was just in
man.
a loud bar.
No, when summer
I
turns to
see.
fall, that's when everyone starts getting sick.
Okay, maybe I'm just in denial then.
I'm
Okay.
surprised you're not sick, Jakob. What's going on
I don't know. I'm just
over there?
holding out. But it's bound to happen, so no, it's coming. All right, so okay. Well, I left you this note here. So Ian's gonna handle that. And Jason, did you mean adding a way to flip them to receive them anyway in
Yeah, just to change
ModRS?
the state. Yeah, in ModRS to have like a override for a privileged user to go through the admin panel to be like, no, this state they got it showed up. I don't know what happened over there, but it's here. So we need to send it back. So it's a waiting return.
I think it's a good idea for functionality for the once we rewrite ModRS. So, file it, keep it, but let's just not spend time on it. Hopefully that was just an outage, that we
Yeah, they
need to
got
deal
this
with
far.
once. Yeah.
We got this far. So, do we know what happened?
Yeah, I mean, we had all those cannot send a message with something that looked like a network outage, but it wasn't. It was this well, at least some of them were those issues in ModRS because they were revised requests and it would just fail with a null pointer exception on the revised ones. That's something that Kurt fixed. But I don't know from Alma, it must be different. Maybe it was a real outage or something. But we don't know really. I mean, from Alma, it's Alma to Alma. So I'm actually.
Oh, okay, so we have no idea.
Well, we can look at the broker logs, right? But those are surprising, Mallory, to be honest. Those that are Alma to Alma things. Like why? Because that wasn't related to the network issue, right? I mean the so-called network issue. It wasn't really a network issue, just a bug in ModRS, but this cannot be the reason for those.
Maybe it was just, yeah, maybe these are different problems.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll try to suss that out.
yeah, you can take this request ID and then find the transaction, the broker, then you can
Yeah.
see. Okay, guys, anything else, Ian?
No, that's it.
Okay, moving on. Yannis, I had the poor guy do a bunch of refactoring, sort of a chore, but it's done now. And this one is in review, should be merged later today. So that was the blocker for one of the stuff that Jason was looking at. So that will be done later today. And then he's looking at the console stuff. We had some exchange there, Mallory. Submit a request of fact. Also, there is a window to next under in the order. Yeah, I saw this. I saw this very strange behavior. I could probably figure it out if I started digging into it, but because this console is just not handled anyway, like it's just a message that gets passed on, at this point, like there's no special handling for this in the broker. Maybe we shouldn't spend too much time on it. And let's see when this is implemented, we can double check this.
Okay.
One thing though, I mean, maybe we just, I don't want to spend too much time, but I may need to create a ticket for ModRS. So here's the thing. This console, we're gonna do different behavior of this console depending on the this mode, opaque versus transparent, because that was the only sensible way I could kind of I could think of in terms of making the behavior predictable. But maybe that's not the best way. Maybe we need to resort to some magic notifications after all. So here's the thing, right? So when we are in this opaque mode, which is what Alma uses, the actual supplier is never revealed. We never update the requesting the supplying agency ID header, right? So like when Alma uses the system, they always see the broker only. And it's never revealed who the actual supplier is, unless of course the message is sent with some information. And it's only revealed in the return address, so like on the pull slips and stuff, so like in the metadata, but not on the protocol level. Now, when Alma cancels, right now it would just send that cancellation to the supplier, and the system would happily continue looking for more suppliers. And that can be confusing for Alma peers because, you know, they don't even know that there is more suppliers. So what this ticket does is to change that behavior so that when Alma, so or any peer in that opaque mode sends cancel, it's gonna cancel the whole transaction. So it's gonna send the cancellation to the supplier, but then it's also going to terminate the supplier loop. So the transaction is done. So that's one thing. And then for reshare, we probably would wanna have two different options. One is to cancel and move to the next supplier. So for example, you don't like the conditions and stuff, you cancel with this supplier, the system gives you the next one. And you also might want to have a terminate option where you simply send the wrong request or something. You just want to terminate that request. You don't want to keep on sending it to all the suppliers in the, you know, in the list and then terminate. But the protocol doesn't have that distinction, right? So this protocol is peer-to-peer. So like the cancel is meant to cancel. Like it doesn't have anything like cancel with termination versus cancel without termination. So for the opaque, for the transparent modes, like we just rely on the fact here that if you're sending cancel and the destination is the broker, then we're going to terminate the transaction. Like we're going to forward that cancellation to the selected supplier and then terminate the transaction. But if you send it to the actual supplier, so you actually use the supplying agency ID of the supplier, then we're just going to forward that to the supplier, cancel with the supplier, and keep on looking for the new one. So that's kind of on the edge of, you know, like that's the only distinction we can do. But that would still mean that we need to make some changes in ModRS to add another sort of function, or modify the existing one that would allow you to cancel and continue versus cancel and terminate. Does that make sense?
So the cancel and continue is effectively the, like, when a supplier gives a condition and the requester doesn't like it, they can reject the conditions. And instead of canceling the request with the rejection, it will just move to the next supplier. But is that the only place where cancel and continue, or what you're calling cancel and continue, like this reject conditions is the only instance when a cancellation isn't actually terminating the request?
No, there are more cases, potential cases. So one case is that the request is stuck with the supplier. So like they just don't respond, right? I mean, we have this aging thing on the supplier side, so that kind of handles it. But if for whatever reason the request is stuck with the supplier and you just want to say, okay, I'm done with this, I'm sick of waiting, then you could send the cancel without termination to move to the next supplier. So that could be another option. And there's one more thing that I think Alan mentioned to me. I just don't know what he's doing, to be honest, but he said that he was working on some proposal for the request aging. And it sounded like he wanted to propose something to Ex Libris regarding request aging from the requester side. So like if you had request aging on the requester side, that could also be used for this, right? So like when it's stuck with one supplier and then it takes too long, the system could just send that cancel with continue and move to the next one. Make sense?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm still a little fuzzy on a few details. But cancel with continue isn't the thing that actually exists in the protocol. We're coming up with a convention for it.
Well, everything is a convention, to be honest, when working at broker modes, right? So the protocol is peer-to-peer. So, I mean, we are kind of operating on, yeah, I mean, on like everything here is a convention, to be honest. Yeah, but guys, the case is simple, right? I mean, we have two options. Like you might recall with ZFL, it's exactly the same problem. Because when you are working with a central broker, you always have this choice, right? Do you want to terminate or do you want to just cancel with the current supplier and move on? You might, I don't know if you guys recall, but the BSF guys were working on this. But so the way we did this in ZFL is that we sent the cancel with like a special magic message called abort. So do you remember that? Maybe Jason knows. Like we
had translated.
Yeah, exactly. So there was like this magic note that went into the note field called hash abort hash. And that the gateway would catch this, and it would sort of convert that into this abort, like termination. And if the cancel without that abort came in, then it would just send this, you know, cancel with the supplier and move on message. So I mean, it's always like whenever we are dealing with some central broker system, then there's always this notion of, you know, what it should do. So for us, it's just how do we communicate this using the protocol, right? So because we just have one cancel operation, we don't have any distinction. So we basically need to either decide what that cancel operation does by default, and also whether we want to have another operation that does the termination, or whether there is some qualification for that operation, you know, some qualifier for the operation that. Dobra, to za chwilę, okay? 10 minutes, 10 minutes. And then, yeah, so like a magic node, or in this case, I wanted to avoid using those magic nodes because it's only Richard that understands them really, and it's kind of like overloading the protocol. It just makes use of the fact that you can, when you're in this transparent mode, where this cancellation and moving on only makes sense, you could control that by addressing the message, right? So if you address it to the broker, boom, it's going to terminate the whole transaction. If you address it to a specific supplier, then it's just going to cancel with that supplier and then resume the loop. Do this need to, like, do we need to chat a little bit more about this on the tickets? Is that the better approach?
Well, I just would think it'd be useful to have it specifically enumerated when we want to send this additional, like this is basically going to be an option on the cancel action. And so
it's not
we just want to...
Yeah, it could be an option on the cancel action when
or
you say an
option,
whatever. Magic note.
Like a parameter.
Yeah,
actions have parameters.
I'm talking the protocol level. On the protocol level, there is no parameters.
Right, but on the protocol level, it's just this note.
Yeah. So, like on the on the protocol level, there's just this note. I mean, from the research point of view, like when you invoke that action, it could be whatever. So it could be, a parameter that says terminate equals true, or it could be a separate action.
Right.
Whatever.
And then the next question is like, okay, so I'm just curious. That's simple enough to implement in ModRS, but in the UI, it could just be in ModRS, it could always use the abort rejecting a condition, for example, or it could not use the abort rejecting condition, whatever is appropriate there. But in the UI for the normal cancel action, do we need to create some sort of a UI for the user to be able to choose cancel and abort versus cancel and continue? Or is that just always going to be the abort, like that kind of thing? So just enumerate where we want to have the option or where we want to send one or the other, and then just have that be listed somewhere.
That's a separate ticket, Jason, though. So I think that's a question for Mallory. What do we want? So like, Mallory, the system will be capable of both, right? Right now, what happens in reshare is that if you cancel, it is going to move to the next supplier. So the question is, do we want it to work like that? Or do we want to terminate?
Well, right and now, if a requester cancels in reshare right now, cancels their own request, it does terminate it. If either, whether the supplier has to agree to the cancellation or not, some have the auto cancellation on, some suppliers do. But if a requester cancels the request, it will go to a canceled state. Like it won't move on to the next supplier.
It will move on to the next.
Do you mean the broker will continue?
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be that it goes into the canceled state on the requester, but I mean, the request is still, still active. The transaction is still active. But that's fine. So we're going to fix that, right? So what I'm hearing from you is that your expectation now is that when you do cancel, it terminates.
Yes.
That's gonna be the end result when we implement this ticket. That's actually going to be the behavior. It is going to terminate the transaction. And it's also going to work like that for Alma. There will be another option available. So if that message is addressed to the supplier, which is not, because the ModRS always sends it to the default requester symbol, default symbol, which is the broker symbol. And that's so it's going to remain working as we expect it to be working, which is, by the way, not working like right now. That's why you have those issues that you mentioned on the ticket. So when that works with the termination, the next question is, do we need an option to cancel and move to the next supplier? So one use case, as you mentioned, is you don't like the conditions, you want to reject them and move on.
Always do that.
What was that, Jason? Sorry.
That one we don't need an option there. That one should always just be, well, rejecting the supplier, you want the next supplier. It's always been kind of ridiculous that happens. So if you want to cancel it, you cancel it with this supplier and it moves on, then you cancel the request like fully, or there'd be like another action where you can cancel the request fully, which is separate from rejecting conditions. Rejecting conditions should never mean cancel with everyone. That doesn't even...
Well, that's what it does though.
I know, but that's been surprising bad behavior on its part. It's not intuitive.
Yeah, but that's what reshare does, right? So like there's no...
Yeah, and it shouldn't do that.
Yeah, so maybe...
fix that now though, because then we would need to like sort out the state somewhat, because that's...
No, I think we can fix that. So basically, we're going to finish this, because what I'm hearing is that there is no objections to this one. We're going to finish as it's written here. I think this is a good approach. And then we're going to test a little bit. And when you test, Mallory, we need to test that case. Two cases. You sent both to Brisbane. And that it's nice to have Brisbane, because this is only... this is going to only show when you have more than one supplier. So you need to send the request to both Melbourne and Brisbane, and then, send some conditions from Melbourne, reject them on Sydney, and then the expectation from Jason is that it moves to the next supplier. It won't, actually, I think. Well, maybe it will. I actually don't know what Richard does, to be honest.
Are we creating a problem right now when the broker doesn't do what we thought it did? Like, if we're expecting cancel, so if ModRS is treating cancel as cancel and abort, and the broker is continuing to the next supplier, does that mean there's a bunch of requests out there at suppliers where they get a request that's coming in as a new request and the requester side of it has already thinks it's completed and fully canceled?
You think that's possible?
And are we hearing reports of this? Like,
I don't know, to be honest, to be honest about this, because here's the thing. There is no state in the broker. So it's all matches going in and out, and the only, well, there is state, but there is no state model. There is no like state machine. So what we have right now is that when you cancel, no matter if you're canceling as part of the just cancel or rejecting conditions, because it's the same message in ModRS. ModRS sends the same cancel message, which actually is probably a bad choice, but that's how it works. Then the broker is going to take that message and it's going to forward that message. So effectively, it's going to cancel with the supplier, and that's it. It's not going to do anything else. This message does not have any special meaning. It just forwards that message. And it doesn't do anything with the transaction. The transaction remains as is. It's also not going to resume looking for suppliers. So it's not going to like resume that look.
Okay.
It's just going to forward that message. But if you look at the transaction state, what you're going to see is that you have a list of suppliers. There's some of them will be, let's say there was 10 suppliers, extreme case. A couple of them were skipped because they unfilled. They're gonna have the state of skipped. Then there is going to be one that is selected. That's the current one. And then there's going to be a bunch of ones after it, which have the status new, the state new. And it's just going to leave it like that. So if you're looking at that state, you could say, it's going to look like you're in the middle of a transaction. Because normally you would expect to see something like skip, skip, skipped, selected, and that's it, right? So and that's it, right? And here it's just going to be like in the middle, and the transaction is not going to say completed or long completed, nothing like that, right? It's just going to be canceled. Like the action will be canceled and the response hopefully will be canceled. So
what normally causes it to move to the next supplier? Is that it doesn't do that until a supplier explicitly rejects it?
Unfills, exactly. So the only thing that triggers the loop to continue is when the supplier responds unfilled.
Got it.
Yeah. So what that means also is that if you have a pesky supplier who just accepted the request and doesn't bother to respond, right? Like the request just, stays with that single supplier that is blocking the whole thing. The requester currently does not have any option to move on. Like they don't have an option to say, what the fuck, let's move on. Like they can send a notification, that says, okay, please, fill or unfill. But there is no way to kind of like tell the broker, hey, let's just continue.
And that's where we need the cancel and continue action.
Yeah. And that's what cancel with continue would allow you to do, one. And the other thing, the other use case for that is when you have the conditions, right? Same story. You have the conditions. You don't like the conditions. You want to reject them, but you want to continue to the next supplier who hopefully doesn't have those conditions, right? So that's the other use case. Currently, you cannot do it.
Okay, so it sounds like we need to just, when this is done, test canceling, just the cancel and abort like workflows. And then it sounds like we might need a separate ticket for cancel and continue, and that could cover the rejection reject conditions situation, or when a requester just wants to like move it along in the router.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and I think that's a good approach. You test it when it works as intended, and then we decide whether we need that new action, and then we can have that conversation that Jason kind of started having right now, which is how should that be represented in the UI? Should that be like a separate action? Should there be a flag on the action? Many different ways to do it, right? So, but that's the UI design part. Okay. Are we good to move on?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, so this is what he's working on. Jason, any updates?
It's almost done. And that took longer than I thought because that needed a lot of stuff. I had to, so the, all we wanted to do, right, was show an error if your message didn't get delivered. It turns out, like, you think, okay, well, that's not gonna, but no, it turns out the messages got stored in the patron request notifications table before they were sent. And there was no way for it to connect the error that happened with which message. Now, you could go to the most recent one, but that's not, I mean, if you send a couple messages in succession, it might actually not be that error. So that didn't seem very reliable. But all the information was available after it was sent. It was just already encoded into what it was actually building the outgoing message from, or the whole outgoing ICD-66 request. And so I just had to recreate the logic for building the notification after it was sent so that we store it at the actual right time. And I've done that, and I store the actual message status, and that's the one that's okay or error. And if there's a timeout or something, ModRS has some hacky bullshit called protocol error, which is its own internal idea of what that is. But that's fine. That's good. It puts something there. It's good. So I've got that in now. I didn't merge it yet because it was a fair bit of a thing. I don't have a way to actually create this situation. So I had Claude build me a unit test.
Christ, you're such a little bitch now. Let me think about this. I think there, didn't I tell you that there was a way to trigger this?
No, or if you did, I forgot. That would be super useful. How do I trigger this?
Me just think about this because
Well, I can't. I don't know how to trigger it. Oh, I guess I could.
oh yeah, I know how you can trigger this. Maybe. Shit, no.
Because it would have to be the response that comes back when you send the message. So I'd have to change it to, instead of pointing to the real ISO endpoint, to point at some bullshit server that just sends it a error confirmation.
There was an easy way to trigger it. I think when I told you this, it was before we fixed that messaging between skipped suppliers. Because, like, previously it would give you this confirmation error if you try to message on a from a supplier that's been already skipped. But that's no longer the case. We changed that, right? Now you can still message, and then you added this notion of like showing who the sender is and so forth. So that way is no longer gonna work. I mean, you could you just is there a way to delete, like hard delete the transaction, a request from the requester?
That's true. I can do that locally in the database.
No, but also, but on the, like, because you could create a request on also like testing on dev, right? I mean, if there is a way to just kill that request, you
Can
could,
manually cancel.
well, no, it has to not exist, right? So we get the confirmation error actually. So like, create a request on Sydney, send it to Melbourne, then kill that request on Sydney so it no longer exists, and then try to message from Melbourne. You should get a
No,
confirmation
there's no
error.
way in the system. It doesn't have delete. We'd have to ask EM to delete it from the database.
Okay. Well, but that's the easiest way, I think.
So I'll try that locally. So
Yeah.
that's useful. Also, that's a good way to sanity check this. But so anyways, when I had Claude add the test, and it got very, it got like stubborn and lazy, and it was like, no, we can't do this level of integration test. It's too hard to mock. Like it really didn't want to mock these HTTP builder things. And so I'm like, fine. And it can we is there like a simple HTTP mock server, and it does have one for Java called WireMock. And so now we have a useful way to mock HTTP requests with an actual light web server rather than having to spin up. I just wanted to avoid one of those slow integration tests in that giant RS lifecycle file those take forever to deal with, and they're just annoying. And so this was a good compromise. And as a result, I found out the current system doesn't actually parse errors out at all ever because it's looking in the wrong place.
Beautiful.
It expects them inside the confirmation header, and it's actually one layer up.
Yeah.
But it correctly sends them. It's putting them in the right place everywhere else. It's just here. So great. Now I fixed that. And also it wasn't even storing the notifications properly on the requester side. It sent the sender and receiver both as a supplier or something crazy like that. Or is it at one place it set the receiver wrong? I guess it was the supplier side. But that, I don't think anything uses that information, so no one noticed, and I guess it doesn't matter. But the end result, though, is if we ever expected to ever see the error status show up in the audit trail, it wasn't. But I actually don't know if it is showing up in the audit trail. And I went ahead and had to fiddle around to make the UI look half reasonable. And the end result there, I for some reason thought, well, it'd be good to link to the audit trail if there was an error. And so I did that, but it occurs to me that I don't actually know if message errors are going to be stored in the audit trail. And the thing is, I could add two more fields for the error, what is it, error status and error value or something like that? Or error code error and type. Error value? Yeah. Error type, yeah. So error type and error value, I could add those onto the notification as well as the message status. And then have that, instead of linking to the audit trail, just display on the message. But the problem is that sounds like some specific request, and then you have to remember, okay, which request had the message error again or whatever? I don't know. Or which message did? I guess you just look in the message pane. So I think it's probably better to have that in the audit. And maybe even if it's not a notification, that like any kind of ISO message is happening, regardless, like some of these things aren't going to show up because it's some of our internal condition nonsense or whatever. That should still show up in the audit trail, even if it doesn't show up in the chat pane. But I don't know that it does. So that's basically the only thing remaining. I haven't merged the UI part, but it's there. I just need to confirm, like come up with some way to make sure it's in the audit trail when it needs to be, when there's an error.
Yeah. But Jason, just long story short, right? I mean, when you send a message and that message doesn't get delivered because of the confirmation error, are you gonna, like as a user, are you gonna see that error in the message pane, the chat pane? Yeah.
Yeah. So should I leave the audit trail as a separate ticket and do that later, and do this RC right now, like this way we can release it?
Yeah, Mallory, I don't know. Should we just do it like that? And then leave the audit trail later.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay, so I'll just hide the link to the audit trail because it's probably not going to be there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will hide that link, and then I will delete the test and delete the request in the database to actually hopefully get an error locally so I can confirm. And if that works fine, I will merge everything and you can QA it. And then I'll look at the other ticket that is there for surfacing something else in the message that I haven't really looked at yet, but I hope it's quick.
Yeah, it's just that Mallory cannot really QA it, right? I mean, she will have the same problem that you have,
right,
like,
yeah.
Triggering
yeah.
That error.
Okay, so I'll just merge it, mark it done.
Yeah, or maybe Mallory, you can ask Ian to do this, what I just told Ian, Jason to try it. So you create a request, send it to Melbourne, and then Ian removes that for you from the Sydney database. So then you can start try to message, and you should see errors in that chat.
So will ModRS actually respond with the confirmation error properly in that situation? Even I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, it does. It says like request not found or something. Yeah, it actually it does it correctly. Yeah.
Oh, good. Something works.
Yeah, something works. So should I leave a note, Mallory, about this? I don't think you can test this without like Ian helping you or
Yeah, if you would leave a note, I think that'd be great. Thank you.
Well, there was another ticket there. Is that so that was the one you were talking about where we had something that wasn't quite sent in the broker and we need to fix that? There's something else where a message was ending up with an error. It was like dev 200 something. But yeah, I think that was the one Jakob was talking about earlier.
There's
208 messages from request to result in error was supply.
Yeah,
native,
I'm
right?
not. I was trying to message between Melbourne and Sydney today, and like the messages from the requester aren't getting sent to the supplier. And so I was queuing your one where you can see who the messages are from. And it's kind of like I can't really fully test that because messages aren't actually going through. I don't know what happened that messaging is broken, but that's what 208 is about. So
But it actually is an unrecognized data value. And so if that's not fixed yet, I mean, it's annoying because we have to fix it and then that might delay the release. But a handy thing is that gives us a way to QA this one if that's still the behavior. That's an error, right?
Yeah,
that's
true.
A message error.
True. Yes.
So I will do this right away and then we can play with that. And then maybe I should work on that next or should I work on the exposing the cannot supply region?
I mean,
This
I think
one.
both are, yeah, that's fine.
She means this one, yeah, that cannot supply.
Or we can just work on both of them kind of simultaneously. And
which one is the other one?
ILL dev 208.
Oh, it's a new one. 208. Where is that? I don't even see
it. It's in his to-do column.
Oh,
or
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Take any of this stuff? I think I've mostly gotten all the exceptions that we've found, at least the ones that we know about. I was gonna try to get with Deborah today to see if I could get that ZFL issue taken care of today, but if you want me to take a look at some of this stuff, I can do that as well.
But hold on, so this is new?
This came up out of us testing the exposed sender of messages in chat pane. So ILL dev 194, when I was testing that, I noticed that not all of the messages were being sent back and forth. And so I created this as a separate ticket. And when I looked at the logs, it was giving this supplying agency not found or invalid. And so I don't know when this cropped up, but like messages aren't
No,
being.
I think this is wrong. That doesn't look right to me. So where did you try it from? Because this, I don't think it's a ModRS issue because this was working correctly, but I don't think this broker symbol is the correct symbol because we changed the symbol is broker dev, isn't it?
Yeah, let me see. I was just testing another one this morning so I can.
Okay, well, if it's still broken, let me merge the thing first. If it's still broken,
yeah.
So that we can use this.
No,
so that's
but
perfect.
This is wrong. This is wrong. This is like, I don't even know why this works at all. Because, you know, this symbol, you see, Mallory? The symbol is wrong. The symbol must
right,
be broken dev.
Yeah, that I just looked at the request I placed this morning and it's the same. I think this was from this morning anyway. It shows the dev in the dev environment is showing symbol broker. Oh, I wonder.
Yeah, it could be that, you know, some stuff goes through, like it doesn't care, but if with this notification it does care.
When did that change from broker to broker dev? I wonder what. Wow. That's really weird. It halfway through this request it changed to broker underscore dev, the agency ID value.
Yeah, let's see what is this setting? Request defaults or something? Yeah, this is wrong. This setting is wrong. It's funny that it never came up. Or
Well, that
is
turns out to
this
be an
new?
easy way to simulate message errors.
Oh, there you go.
Controllable with a setting.
Okay,
Well,
so I
it's
need to go to.
proper. It's right in it's right in Sydney, so I don't know.
Yeah, so that's why it never. I always test from Sydney, so that's why it never came up for me.
Okay, so just leave it wrong for a sec, and then I'll merge this, and then we can.
Yeah, but this is wrong, Mallory. And we should check Brisbane as well.
Yeah,
Yeah, funny that it worked at all. You say that it changed in mid request. Why would it
well,
change
yep.
that?
I don't. I was looking
Yeah,
at
this is
a.
strange.
I was looking at a. Let me get you the. I can send you the. No, my gosh.
Just drop me that link later, okay? Like on the chat.
Yeah.
I will, because I need to drop, guys. Okay, so yeah, I don't think that's related. You can investigate, Jason, but I would say let's finish this one. This cannot supply, so
I'll
we
create a new
can,
ticket for the audit trail.
yeah, and separate ticket for the audit trail. So okay, so if you manage to wrap that up today, then you would make the release tomorrow. Is that okay, Ian?
I still have the other ticket to do, but I'll hopefully wrap that up today. The cannot supply reason.
Yeah, I'll put it in progress just so you know. Ian, is that okay with that release? Maybe making that, cooking that tomorrow?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, and Kurt, any updates?
Nothing really that to talk about. I have so some of the exceptions I did find actual bugs that I've committed fixes for. Some of them I still don't have enough data to really tell what's going on, but I did increase the logging for, so if they come up again, we should actually see which request objects are causing it. So I
Okay.
think that's good to move forward there. And then, like I said, there's that one ZFL issue that I'm still waiting on Deborah for. So I was going to reach out to
Yeah.
her today since she's actually back.
Is there anything? So that's awesome, Kurt. So I think the way is just to update, once we update prod, we are going to see, right? I mean, on the Slack channel, if some of them are gone. Now, maybe it would make sense for you to pick one of those to-dos if you're still waiting for the.
Yeah. I was hoping that Kurt, you might be able to look at 213, which I just added today. It's because it's the same thing as one you did earlier, where the capitalization of codes between ALMA and reshare is causing a problem.
Oh, okay.
And so these requests come in with an undefined currency, and they don't show up in the filter has cost, so they don't know that they're a pay for peer request from the queue.
Okay.
Okay. And anything else?
I mean, I don't think anything else for super urgent.
Okay. All right. Well, you just pull from the list, right? If you need to. All right, guys, I really need to go. So have a good one and talk to you soon.
Right, thank you. Can I
Bye.
just chat with you guys for a sec?
Yeah.
Is Ian still
You,
here? Where's the
Ian
button
is
for still who's
here.
here? Oh, cool. So after I'm done, pushing the stuff up and getting the new ticket and surfacing the cannot supply reasons so that the release candidate can be cut, can I add some more indexes? Because I think we could really use them. And should I add them in the 217 migration file so we have the option to have that in, like, backport that more easily again?
Yeah, maybe. Or if we can figure out how to do a create if exists, so I can. I'm a little worried about. Well, I guess that's fine if they're all going to 17, but I don't know if
Well,
that's
yeah, so
going to happen.
I'm not putting them I'm putting them in the 17 file because we have them in separate files, but the migrations all have identifiers. And so that migration, regardless of what file it's in, so long as it's got the same ID on it, If it runs, it'll be like, okay, cool, that ran, and it won't do it separately. The creative exist thing was being discussed. If you just manually ran the Postgres to create the index, and then that would get in the way of the migration, that would get confused when it's like, hey, wait, it says I've never done this before, but it's already been done. What the heck? And then it will throw an error at that point.
Yeah, I mean it wouldn't hurt. I mean we're trying to schedule updates to everyone right now to get those two indexes that are there in. So I guess we should maybe time it so we can include these or
Well, that's what I'm wondering. That's why I
include.
think, okay, maybe that's something that we should be thinking about right away, because I don't know if we want to necessarily go through that again. But the thing is, the requests, so the indexes, the ones that I added there were just for the rota and the audit log, because those are the ones that I think, okay, we definitely have more of those than requests.
Are there no
Whereas,
indexes on the request table? What's missing there? Like
nope.
not even
And
the ID,
so
the primary key?
the primary keys are always indexed,
Right.
but it's
So
looking up
just
by the foreign key. And so the thing I would try to do would be to add a few indexes for the common situation where we want it sorted descending. And so there's a type of index you can add for sorts. And I will want to have an index for the state or whatever it is we need so that we can filter on, because that's where it's joining onto the state table. I might actually just, for all the joins that it's doing, potentially, to create the index in the usual view.
right.
So to, but anyway, I was specifically thinking about the stuff that shows up when you just go to the request list. So every time everyone goes to the request list, it's doing a manual scan, or like a, it's going through all the request objects.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense to me to add those. I guess my slight preference would be to use create if exists and just add it to master. But we could
So
backport it if you want.
I would still add it to master. I would add it in the 217 file in master,
Right.
because I would, rather than having a new backport, having it create the 219 file. That's all I'm saying about the 217. I would still only add it to master as its own commit, and then you can choose to backport it with the other one or not. But I'm a little concerned as well. When you backport things to 217, do you also put them in 218?
Well, I was just gonna say, I don't think I did that, so I would need to. That's why it's kind of weird going back. If they were in the current thing, then we wouldn't have to worry about that, and I could just create, I could retroactively create if I needed to.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happened. I did put it in master first. The thing is
Right,
we
but
went
it's
back two
tied
releases.
to, right, exactly. So
So
it's just like a
maybe
little
just put
bit
that into it.
confusing to have a new
It
feature
is.
going into an old thing and then to add it, you know what I mean? To pull it
I mean,
forward to the other one.
backporting and cherry picking and stuff is always a
Right.
bit of a
Which is why I
nightmare.
would prefer to just stick it on a new, 219 or whatever it is, migration file and
Yeah, so maybe
then.
I'll just put it in 219, and we'll never run this on 217, and we should just upgrade them.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And then if it's, if we're in a pinch, I would like to be able to create those manually.
Rather than create them manually, though, we probably should just backport at that point.
Okay, that's reasonable.
I don't know.
But yeah, let's just add it to the new file because I'm gonna lose track of it and it's gonna be confusing.
Well, I can add it to the old file, and it's still a commit only on master, and then you can leave it there if you want.
Yeah,
And you
I'm
don't
just
have to
trying
backport it.
think. Right, so it's only a master. So if we patch 218 or something like that for a trove, then we'd have to pull it in there. I don't know. Yeah, that's fine if you want to add to 217. I would prefer just to put them all on the latest. Yeah.
Should that even be what I do next, or is there something more important to do? I don't know how, like, where we're at with that. It just seemed, I was a little surprised that Minitech Tower already has 172,000 requests. It's like, wow, they do some volume.
Are you asking if that's what you should do after all the messaging stuff?
Right, after the two things that I'm doing, and I'm expecting it to be really quick because I'm just creating a ticket and commenting out some code saying, see this ticket for when it's actually going to be in the audit trail, so you can uncomment the link to the audit trail. Then I'm pushing this up, and then I'm displaying the cannot supply reason, which is hopefully quick. So I should potentially have some time later today. And I was thinking that, well, what I should do next might be add these indexes, because it seems like we actually do have a lot of patient requests that are being currently looped through by the database, and this would potentially alleviate a lot of load in the system.
I think that ILL dev 208, the error that we're seeing with requester messages not going through is more like we can't put the
Right, but that's not me. That's broker. Isn't that what Jakob just said?
Oh, did he say this was a broker problem?
That
Oh
was the
wait,
setting.
oh wait. Shit, sorry. I just literally wrote a
Yeah.
message about that. Okay. Yes. Then if that resolves it after we test your ticket that you're about to merge, then yes, do the index stuff. Sorry.
Okay, and I will do it only on master, but I was thinking of putting it in the 217 file so that it would be easy to cherry pick back if we wanted to.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, then I will do that. And is there a concern about space? Like indexes take up space.
No.
Okay. Cool. Then I won't even worry about it. I'll try not to go nuts and just like index everything, but it'll
Yeah, I mean,
I'll probably end
I
up putting
guess
like three or four of them.
if you can identify the places where they would, if it's actually using, trying to make a sort on something that's not indexed or whatever, then that's good. But yeah, that's not.
Well, like for example, descending by date is what we always do on that table, and we have never indexed that. So,
Would probably be a good idea.
yeah, that kind of thing. So I did open a ticket for actually kind of digging in there and methodically analyzing this and getting logs from you, and really let's optimize the schema a bit, like at least spend a couple days on it. But this isn't that. I'm just thinking I could
Yeah.
spend half an hour this afternoon and at least do the obvious indexes on the patient request table because it's kind of big. And that seems like maybe I should do that before we get around to prioritizing that specific ticket. And is there anything else that you can think of? I did mention the notifications, and you gave me a count from Minitex. And it looks like that was just the one tenant, right? That was their tenant of last resort. That wasn't all the tenants.
That's correct.
Yeah. And so for that tenant, the notifications, there were actually fewer of them than there were requests. So there were a lot of requests that didn't have any notifications. But I wonder if that's atypical because it's that last resort tenant.
I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting, maybe. Because or maybe I should just do it because it makes sense to have an index to be able to find the notifications that correspond to this request. And currently that would do a scan of the notification table, which is dumb. Never mind, I'll just add that one. Right. So that's what I'm going to do next. And then I'll ask Mallory what I should do after that. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, cool. Yeah, goodbye, everyone. Unless there's anything else.
Yeah, well, let me know if you want some more indexes. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting indexes. So,
That's good with the ones we
I'm
got.
indexing the data. Doing my job.
Bye. Thanks.
Right.
See ya. Thanks, everyone.